You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Because now you get a second easy way to save. That's right. On top of the amazing values you enjoy with Wellness Plus points, your new card gives you Plenty Points, which can be earned in one place and used for savings in another. Earn and use your Plenty Points at Rite Aid, Macy's, AT&T, Exxon, and Mobil, and other participating partners. It's even more of the value you love. It's Wellness Plus with Plenty. Get your new card at Rite Aid today. With us, it's personal.
Want a bright start to summer? Ask Sherwin-Williams during the Sunny Day Sale and save 30% on paints and stains May 17th through the 25th. With colors like pool blue, organic green, and daffodil, we've got everything you need to add a splash of color. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store and save. Find your nearest store at sherwinwilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
A House panel has approved a limit on expenses incurred by former presidents.
The bill approved by the House Oversight Committee would set presidential pensions at $200,000 a year, with an additional $200,000 available for office space and other expenses. But expense payments would be reduced by $1 for every dollar above $400,000 earned by a former president in a single year. And an ex-president earning more than $600,000 would get no federal funding for expenses. Mike Gracia, Washington.
The Union for Amtrak's locomotive engineers says a second worker needs to be with the engineer at the controls of trains on the busy Northeast Corridor. The Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers and Trainmen says the public would never accept an airline operation with a single person in the cockpit. Amtrak engineer Brandon Boston was alone when his train derailed last Tuesday in Philadelphia, killing 8 people and injuring more than 200 others. This is USA Headline News.
For the first time, America's behavior expert Scott Farrell is offering you the Marriage Matrix. The system used for years to help save marriages is now available to you. The Marriage Matrix can save you expense, personal embarrassment, and maybe even save your marriage.
I'm America's behavior expert Scott Farrell. If you really want a shot at saving your marriage, get the Marriage Matrix today, and together, let's do this.
Call now, 844-HELP-US-0. That's 844-HELP-US-0. Or visit ismymarriageworthit.com.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says American leadership has faltered under President Obama.
Our alliances that we built, especially over the last 70 years since World War II, have been built on the idea that America would lead, and that when America gave their word to an ally that we would do something, we did it. And we stood up. Under this president in this White House, that has not been the truth.
Britain's Prince Charles has met and shaken hands with the leader of Ireland's Nationalist Party in historic first.
British media focused on the handshake. Prince Charles clasping right hands and talking over tea with Gerry Adams, the Sinn Féin party leader and reputed former Irish Republican Army chief. Adams called the 22nd handshake symbolic, but says the hurt from the troubles in Northern Ireland and the Republic remains.
The conflict is behind us, but the hurt isn't behind us.
Prince Charles had some hurt of his own from the troubles and plans to visit the place where the IRA assassinated his great-uncle, Lord Louis Mountbatten, in 1979. Kyle McKinnon, London.
Peter Spindler of London's Metropolitan Police told Sky News they've thwarted a jewelry heist and that the portrayal of police as bumbling Keystone cops in this instance is undeserved.
The systems and processes that we have in place with the alarm companies weren't followed. And as a result of that, officers did not attend the premises when in fact they probably should have done. And for that, I want to apologize.
You're listening to USA Headline News.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures. helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
Good afternoon. The weather for Hunterdon County. It is currently 59 degrees. The humidity is at 49% and visibility is at 10 miles. We are expecting a high of 68 today, mostly sunny, with the winds coming from the northwest from 11 to 13 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 42, and the winds calming down as the evening progresses. Thursday, a chance of showers after 3, mostly cloudy with a high near 64. The chance of precipitation tomorrow is at 30%. And Thursday night, a slight chance of showers before midnight. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 74. And mostly clear and sunny on Saturday with a high near 70. And mostly sunny on Sunday, 76. And Memorial Day, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a high near 79. It is currently 12:08.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamira Roll, licensed professional counselor and your host for today's show. And today I'm going to talk about what it was like growing up in a family where there is alcoholism, drug addiction, or some other type of dysfunction and the effects that it has on you as an adult. Now, I would say back in the 80s, there was a book written called The Adult Children of Alcoholics. It was written by Dr. Janet Wotitz, who unfortunately is no longer with us. But it was a groundbreaking book, and it outlined the characteristics of someone who grew up in a household where there was alcoholism, addiction, or some other compulsive behavior, such as gambling, drug abuse, overeating. And the thing that's happened over the years is we begin to recognize, or began to recognize, that that any kind of dysfunction may create these similar characteristics. And what would that include? Well, if I have a parent who has some type of emotional issue, severe depression, anxiety, things like that, parent who may have a personality disorder such as narcissism, a parent who might be a workaholic, parent who might have a physical illness such as diabetes or cancer. Basically, what happens is that we grow up in a situation where there is some type of dysfunction. And this dysfunction is not something that is intended, because I think, and I say this to my clients all the time, I don't think that a parent, I mean, you have to be a pretty sick person if your goal is to have children so you could really screw them up. I think when we have children, we want to do the best that we can, and we are human beings, and therefore we have our issues. And it may be an illness, or it may be poverty. It may be that we make a decision that we need to get a divorce. Maybe children end up in foster care, or extremely strict religious attitudes. There's many, many things that may cause an issue, which we end up with these characteristics of children who grew up with alcoholism or dysfunction. One of them, most definitely, is codependency, which is a whole nother topic. Codependency is when we're often controlling other people and caretaking other people and rescuing and enabling other people. But that is, like I said, a whole different topic. But adult children of dysfunction or alcoholism, they do have a set of characteristics as a consequence. And it may not be that all of them apply. And we might even say, well, gee, I don't know anyone who doesn't have some of these things. And like I said, the majority of us grew up in families where there was some type of dysfunction. It just is. The only time that we don't have generally that kind of dysfunction is when we're in the womb. We're being completely taken care of. And when we are born, we are the epitome of narcissistic beings because we need and require all the attention to be on us. And that is not something that is premeditated. It is about survival, an infant's ability to survive and learn. And in a dysfunctional family, those needs don't get met. And even in a functional family, sometimes those needs don't get met. That's okay. The most important thing is not about blaming our parents, because chances are, with all of their isms, all of their dysfunctions, all of their character traits, they probably did the best they could do at the time they were doing it. We can always look back and say, oh, you know, if my mom had done this or if my dad had done this, things would have been different. Well, even if my dad couldn't get up off the chair because he was drunk, and I could say, well, if he didn't drink, it is what it is. So it's not about blaming them. However, when we begin to learn the character traits and the personality traits of adult children, we can begin to take responsibility for those character traits, and we can begin to make changes. So often I say, you know, if we grow up in a family where there is a mood-altering issue, and it can be depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, alcoholism, it can be many, many things, but somehow mood is altered. It's like growing up in a family where we have wavy mirrors. All the mirrors are those funhouse mirrors, and that's all I've ever seen. So when I look in the mirror, I've got a little head and broad shoulders and short little feet, and that is my experience of viewing myself in the mirror. It's mood altered. And when I grow up and I look in a mirror and somebody goes, no, this is a mirror, I don't recognize it. And so I want to get that mirror that I'm comfortable with. And so it's learning that, you know what, just because I grew up in that, it doesn't mean that's reality or healthy. And so that's why I'm going to be going through this, so that you might find you identify in some areas and know that there is help and hope and change. However, right now I do need to take a commercial break, and I will be back with Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamira Roll, your host for today's show.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Hello, this is psychic medium Trish Woods with the program Afterlife Real Life that airs every Thursday from 1 to 3 p.m. My co-host is psychic medium Jane Davidson from the United Kingdom. We have listeners and callers from all over the world. We're looking forward to hearing what you want to know about with metaphysics, spirituality, personal spirit experiences, psychic work, and more. From 1 to 3 p.m. every Thursday, you can call in or tune in, asking Jane and I your questions, your personal ideas, and maybe getting help with your own personal life. Afterlife Real Life, every Thursday, 1 to 3 p.m.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to hold its second annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 13th from 12:30 to 6:30 at the Hunterdon County Fairgrounds in Ringo's. We thank our presenting sponsor, Hunterdon Healthcare, and the Hunterdon County Freeholders. Come get involved, be a vendor, an exhibitor, if you're a business or an organization. Come get before thousands of folks on this great day. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at huntertonchamber.org. Once again, join us on Hunterdon County Community Day, Saturday, June 13th. Get involved with your community today.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamira-Roll, your host for today's show, and I'm talking about growing up in an alcoholic or dysfunctional family and how it affects us as adults. And as I was saying, that it's not necessarily only alcoholism, it's any type of dysfunction, and generally it is not something, I will say 99% of the time, it's not something that is intended by our parents. It is a consequence of growing up in a dysfunctional or addicted household, where there may be some other issue. Oftentimes, people who grew up have characteristics in common, often feeling isolated, uneasy with other people, especially authority figures. There's a great need to protect self. That means what? What do? Well, we become people pleasers. We have belief systems that say everybody must like me, love me, and approve of me. And as a consequence, there's a tendency to lose your own identity. So I like whatever you like. I don't even know who I am. And the thing is that criticism is taken as a personal threat. Don't know how to handle being criticized. Constructive criticism is hard to take. Sometimes what happens if you grow up in an alcoholic family or dysfunctional family, you find that you either become alcoholic yourself or you marry one, or both. Why? Well, you know, it's comfortable. I know how to do this for myself and my own life. First husband was an alcoholic. We become, and we are afraid of failing. And so we end up creating our own compulsive personalities. So I may not become an alcoholic, but I might become a workaholic. Or I might become addicted to gambling or the internet. It's right there in front of us all the time. And we have a really sick need to fulfill abandonment issues. And I'll talk about that a little bit more later. So often, I feel like a victim. I don't know how to get out of that victim mentality. And oftentimes also you have either a strong sense of responsibility, overdeveloped, and don't know how to deal with feelings of guilt, become reactors instead of actors. And this is something I talk about quite often. I don't use the word actor, but I do say there's a huge chance to be reactionary rather than responders. And, you know, when we talk about our first responders, these are people who have practiced how to deal with crisis. Versus if you grew up in a dysfunctional family, there's a crisis, you all run around and you don't know what to do. Because that's generally what you've done. You might hold on to an unhealthy relationship because you don't want to feel that feeling of abandonment. And so you keep choosing relationships with people who are unavailable in some way. And it just mirrors that childhood issue. The thing that's interesting is that, you know, saying that we lose ourselves, we don't know who we are, we actually take on roles. And in a family where there's a dysfunction of any sort, and again, I don't want to just say that it's alcoholism. It can be a physical illness, a mental illness. It could be poverty. It can be unemployment. You know, it can be so many things. And as a consequence, it's part of the human condition. At the same time, I think I'm going to say that recognizing that, gee, I have these characteristics, I can do something about them, and I can grow up and be personally responsible, and I can discover who I am and become genuine to myself. And so these roles that we take on, well, the first role can be called a hero. And this is based on a family of four children. And these roles can be intertwined, shared, that kind of thing. But generally speaking, and I'll say it's amazing, sometimes I'll have a client and they're telling me about their family and, you know, there's four of them. And I will literally go down the list and explain the roles. And they're like, wow, that describes my family to a T. And again, the first one is the family hero. Well, what is that? That's the person who succeeds the most, goes to college, gets a good job, maybe in school was president of their class, or, you know, the sports hero in their class. But really succeeding, doing well, really demonstrating that, you know, our family's doing something right. But the thing is the hero usually has low self-esteem, believe it or not, even though they may be accomplishing quite a bit. And they've become addicted to doing and succeeding and don't know how to just calm down, can't get with making a mistake. Perfectionism is really high up there. The next one tends to be the family scapegoat. This child is getting in trouble all the time, always being called down to the principal's office, maybe drops out of school, getting involved with drugs, early pregnancy. The list goes on and on. And if this kid would only get their act together, our family would be okay. It's this kid is the problem that we're all struggling and suffering. But this child is the what we would call the identified patient. This child is the one that is saying, we've got some real big problems here in this family. It's like saying, I don't know why that I have gout, but boy, does my big toe hurt. It's that kind of a thing. And so the scapegoat gets that kind of focus. Well, after the scapegoat, we have the lost child, because you see, the lost child doesn't get the attention and the accolades of the hero, and sure doesn't want to create the problems that the scapegoat is causing. So the lost child is really quiet, keeps to themselves, low self-esteem, most definitely, good caretaker, tends to be artistic, sits alone, quietly reads, draws, those kinds of things. And the last child, the family mascot, the class clown, always trying to lighten things up. Come on, let's joke, let's play, come on, let's not be so heavy with all of this dark stuff. Oftentimes I will draw a picture, and so I want you to kind of put your imagination caps on, and I want you to think about this picture. I draw a picture of a bottle. That's the alcohol or dysfunction, but I usually use the bottle because it's the easiest thing to draw and the most easiest thing to imagine, but we could put any of those things that I've been talking about in that spot. Then you've got the person who's got their relationship with the bottle, the alcoholic, or I'm the person that's narcissistic, or I'm the person that's struggling with cancer, or I'm the person that's the workaholic, or I'm the one that's addicted to gambling. You get the picture. But I'm the one that's having a relationship, and I'm using that word particularly, I'm having a relationship with this thing. The alcohol, the cancer, the dysfunction. Then I've got my significant other. And that person is focused on me. So I'm looking at the bottle, my spouse is looking at me, enabling me, caretaking me, trying to get my attention, trying to get me to join into the family. So now we've got the bottle, the person looking at the bottle, and the other adult looking at the person looking at the bottle. Then you've got the four children lined up behind that. Nobody's looking at them. In this type of a family system, nobody is looking at them. They are basically parenting themselves. And this is part of that underlying aspect of abandonment. The oldest child has got to take care of the other kids. And not only that, the oldest child has to take care of mom or dad or both. And so it sets up a lifelong, possibly lifelong, predicament of being an adult child of dysfunction. However, like I said, it's not permanent. It can be changed. And that's a really positive thing. So I need to take another break. It's time for a news break, and I'm going to talk in a little bit more detail about some of the characteristics, and I will be back shortly with Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, licensed professional counselor and your host for today's show.
Hi, I'm Karen Palatosh of MGX Outdoor, and being a member of the Hunterdon County Chamber affords me the opportunity to meet decision makers that I might not have had an opportunity to meet otherwise.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. House Speaker John Boehner says the president should send a new war powers draft to Congress to fight ISIS. He accused the president of having no strategy to fight ISIS and lamented the militants' weekend takeover of the strategic city of Ramadi.
The threat is growing faster than what we and our allies can do
to stop.
But the Iraqis are calling on Iranian-backed Shiite militias to help, and that poses another problem, according to Texas Congressman Michael McCaul.
This is a prescription for disaster. It will only inflame the Sunni tribe to make the sectarian divisions even deeper and wider, and I don't see it as a long-term strategy to win.
He spoke this morning to Fox News. Iran's supreme leader says he will not allow international inspection of Iran's military sites under any nuclear agreement with world powers. In the framework deal, sanctions would be lifted on Iran in exchange for a promise by them to curb their nuclear program. This is USA Headline News.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
Now that Rite Aid has joined the Plenty program, Wellness Plus is even more rewarding because now you get a second easy way to save. That's right. On top of the amazing values you enjoy with Wellness Plus points, your new card gives you Plenty points, which can be earned in one place and used for savings in another. Earn and use your Plenty points at Rite Aid, Macy's, AT&T, Exxon, and Mobil, and other participating partners. It's even more of the value you love. It's Wellness Plus with Plenty. Get your new card at Rite Aid today. With us, it's personal.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamira-Roll, your host for today's show, and I have been talking to you about growing up in a dysfunctional home or a home where there's alcoholism or some type of dysfunction. And as I said, I wanted to talk a little bit about, and a little bit more in depth about the characteristics. One of the things that often happens is that adult children guess at what normal is. And it's something that I find quite often with my clients. They'll say, I don't know what it means to be normal. I don't know what normal is. And it comes from the fact that we don't grow up where we have a sense of things being normal. Or, as I also like to say, healthy. When I look at the word normal, I think of our society, and I think we are living in a pretty codependent society, and I'm not sure if I want to be normal. But what I do want to be is I want to be healthy. And so I suggest that to my clients, that you want to be healthy. Now, what's healthy for me and what's healthy for you may be two different things. And so it's the same thing. What's normal for me? You know, what's normal, I may have a very slightly elevated temperature, and that might be normal for me. Not unhealthy, just normal. And so it's that kind of thing. So guessing at what normal is tends to be one of the characteristics. There's a huge fear of losing control. Oftentimes, that's because you grew up in a situation where there was somebody had to take control of something. Dad was drunk, had to get him in bed, starting an argument between mom, had to calm things down, taking care of the other children. I got to control stuff here. There's a great fear of relinquishing control because I think my life is going to get worse. It causes a lot of anxiety. We don't recognize that we actually have only control of ourselves. There's a definite feeling of fear about emotions. It was not safe to have our feelings growing up. And so adult children of alcoholics fear emotions. I only want to be happy. I don't want to feel any other feeling. And oftentimes can misinterpret feelings such as assertiveness equals anger. And people of authority, my gosh, authority figures are really frightening. And so adult children will often seek approval, therefore losing identity in the process, because I want you to approve of me. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do so that you like me. And because I may not be able to do that very well, I may end up isolating myself because I can't seem to make everyone like me, so it's better if I just pull back. There's definitely a high burden of being responsible. Super responsible. Sometimes we go the other extreme and can be super irresponsible. So often adult children overcompensate or very sensitive to the needs of others. And self-esteem comes from others. Others' judgment of them. Others' description. Others' viewpoint. Why? I need things to be perfect. I don't know how to do that, and therefore my self-esteem is low. I need your approval. Not want, I need your approval. The fear of not gaining your approval pushes on my fear of abandonment. What if you don't like me? I can't stand it when someone doesn't like me. And so I make every effort to be perfect so that you approve of me, and perfect in what you want from me. And so quite often, someone who grows up in this kind of a situation finds that they don't know who they are because they've spent their life trying to be what someone else wants them to be. As a consequence to that, there's a lot of self-criticism. The negative self-talk from adult children is tremendous. And of course, that affects self-esteem, self-respect, and doesn't matter how confident you are, when your self-esteem is shot, you can't see it because you've been taught to compare. You hear some of the words that you heard growing up. Yeah, you're not going to amount to anything. You're a nothing. Well, that's what I play in my head. I'm a nothing. Never do anything right. I should know better. All those messages, they just play over and over in our heads as adults, and it weighs us down, creates that low sense of self-esteem, and we're so critical of ourselves, just always beating ourselves up. Adult children tend to suffer from denial, and denial is something that is part of the disease of addiction in general. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. Go to school. It doesn't matter you have a fever of 103. Go to school. It's not that bad. You're not that sick. Don't cry. I'll give you something to cry about. So it tells us not to have our feelings and to minimize. Mom, are you crying? Nope, nope. Well, what are those tears on your face? Nope, nope. Dad's drinking again. No, I'm fine. I just got some. I'm chopping onions. It's nothing. We learn to deny feelings. We learn about denial. And so we deny our own feelings because we don't even know how to identify them. And that makes those feelings a definite threat. Adult children fear intimacy. First of all, intimacy feels like out of control. Means I have to feel. I have to express my needs. I may have consequences with sexuality. I may repeat negative relationship patterns because I am drawn to dysfunctional people, unavailable people. And so, I don't know. I don't know what to do with a relationship. As a matter of fact, I don't even know how to start a conversation. I don't know how to be with people. I don't know how to talk to people. I don't know how to identify with people. And if you got to know me, you might not like me because my self-esteem is so shot. Well, what happens is then we become victimized, become passive or passive-aggressive, and we find that we're either in relationships with friends, career, loved ones, where we really are in that role of being a victim because we don't know how to stand up for ourselves and how to be in a healthy, assertive communication style. Well, as a consequence, we can also adopt, as I said before, our own compulsive behaviors. Maybe I grew up with an alcoholic parent, but now I'm an overeater. Or I'm a workaholic. Or maybe my dad was a gambler. Now I really am a workaholic because I got to make sure we have enough money. Maybe I become codependent in relationships and I'm behaving compulsively. I might even develop things like an eating disorder or obsessive compulsive disorder. And you know, I know how to handle drama. Serenity? I have no idea what that is. And so quite often, an adult child can become actually addicted to chaos and drama. They get an adrenaline fix. Gives a feeling of power and control. Maybe even addicted to anger or rage. And here's the thing that's really interesting. Adult children in relationships often confuse love with pity. So what happens is we end up in relationships with people that we rescue. There are not many of us who have not seen Pretty Woman. And the ending of that movie makes my head explode. Partially because I'm a therapist now and I know a lot of stuff as a consequence to that. And at the end of the movie, he says, "I'm here to rescue you." He's climbing the ladder, the emergency escape ladder, and he's got a rose in his mouth, and she says, "Well, I'm going to rescue you right back." Well, that's not a healthy relationship. It's not about rescuing another person. It's not about rescuing anyone. So the reality is rescuing someone is not love. It's rescue, and it's easy to confuse the two. And as I said, abandonment issues, my gosh. If you grew up in that kind of a family situation, we run rampant with abandonment issues. Even the slightest indication that someone is pulling away or the slightest I hear it all the time. My boss called me into the office. I knew I was going to lose my job. That's an abandonment issue. The boss might even be saying, "Hey, look, I just want you to know you did a really good job," or, "Hey, I want to give you another project," or something like that. But boy, oh boy, walking into that office, you're darn sure you're going to be losing your job. And then what? No income. Poverty. Who's going to want to hire me? Goes on and on. And of course, in relationship, being with people who are just not there for us. Sometimes we see things under extremes, black and white. And I have clients that struggle with that. It's all or it's nothing. Nobody, ever, people, always. Well, when we grow up in that kind of a situation, I would say specifically where there's alcoholism, it's either drunk or sober. There's no gray. There's no in the middle. There's no in between. Oftentimes there's physical illness because of the stress related to growing up in this kind of family situation. And there's everything is on a continuum, I'll say. So there's some people that have had severely abusive alcoholic family childhoods, severe. And others where it doesn't look quite so severe, but we seem to have the same characteristics. So it's a continuum. So it might be that, well, I don't know, my dad, he worked, you know, and my mom was home, and you know, and I don't necessarily see, you know, yeah, my dad would leave at 6 a.m. He'd come home at 9 o'clock at night, and on the weekends he was playing baseball with his buddies, and he was never home, and you know, and mom was always yelling and screaming, and somehow I end up with these characteristics, and I end up feeling a sense of abandonment in my life because my parents didn't divorce, but my dad really wasn't there. I need to take another break, and I'm going to come back and talk about a few other characteristics and also talk about that there is help, because I don't want to just leave it hanging out there. So I will be back after a few commercials, and I am Ruth Altamir Roll, your host for Counselor's Chat.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com. Mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hi, I'm Karen Palatosh of MGX Outdoor, and being a member of the Hunterdon County Chamber affords me the opportunity to meet decision makers that I might not have had an opportunity to meet otherwise.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Tired of the limitations of your small office shredder? Do you need to be compliant with federal regulations regarding the disposal of sensitive information? Are you concerned about identity theft? If so, then call AssureShred. AssureShred will provide your company customized on-site document destruction service that fulfills regulatory requirements and at the same time protects your organization from the consequences of the improper disposal of sensitive information. To obtain a free quote or to schedule an appointment, call AssureShred at 877-466-1566 today. That's 877-466-1566.
Are you interested in learning more about Hunterdon County? Are you interested in growing as a professional and as a leader? Then Leadership Hunterdon may be for you.
Hi, this is Chris Bianco, class of 2014 Leadership Hunterdon. Work with other local dedicated professionals to learn about the complexities and interconnectedness of Hunterdon County.
We invite you to visit one of our many upcoming sessions as we begin to recruit the class of 2016.
Learn from and connect with established business, government, and community leaders.
Leadership Hunterdon, an in-depth 9-month program offered by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce.
And honored via invitation to help Hunterdon County with its challenges and shape its future. These are just some of the virtues of being part of Leadership Hunterdon.
Contact us at 908-782-7115. Or visit our website, hunterdonchamber.org, for more information today. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present hunterdonchamberradio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamir Roll, your host for today's program. And I'm talking about growing up in dysfunctional or alcoholic homes and how it affects us as adults. And I've been going through sort of a list of things, guessing at what normal is, low self-esteem, having trouble relaxing, having fun, seeking approval, fear of intimate relationships, fear of emotions, denial, difficulty with intimacy, being a victim, tending to confuse love with pity, abandonment issues, physical issues created by stress, suffering from accumulation of grief. Well, what does that mean? Well, so often people who grew up in dysfunction are anxious, and depressed. The loss of having a healthy childhood and never being able to grieve because a dysfunctional family doesn't tolerate intense feelings of being uncomfortable. So you accumulate grief. And there's an overreaction to changes. I don't know what to do with a change. I need things to stay exactly the same, become hypervigilant, constantly scanning the surroundings, waiting for the other shoe to drop. Nothing good ever happens. And lose yourself in a relationship with others. Attracting to other alcoholics, compulsive personalities such as workaholics, wanting to rescue and enable, becoming a good codependent. Even if you don't drink yourself, you may find that you're attracted to people who have these types of issues. So, like I said, there is help and there is hope. Adult children of alcoholics need to learn how to develop a good sense of boundaries. Need to learn how to develop a good sense of self, a good sense of limits, work on building a self-esteem, recognizing that shame and blame are carryovers from your past. That the belief systems that were handed down to you about who you are and about life are not necessarily true, and you begin to learn who you are, gain some self-acceptance, and love yourself. Generally, this begins when we stop isolating and we begin to get in touch with feelings and buried memories. It's really good to have a therapist to do this with so that you're not doing it alone. However, there's plenty of self-help books on the topic. But I would definitely suggest doing it along with a therapist, even finding a good support group such as Al-Anon or Smart Recovery or Adult Children of Alcoholics meetings. And you can find these online. It's the beginning of a process to learn how to reparent yourself. And that's an odd thing to say. I don't even know what it means to be a healthy parent. I never experienced it. I haven't been a healthy parent to my own children. Well, I need to learn, and we're never too late to learn. We're never too old to learn. And we begin to learn to distinguish between, well, that's something my mom used to say to me, or my dad used to say to me, is it really true? My dad would say, you lazy bum, you're not going to amount to anything. Let me take a longer look at that. Am I a lazy bum? Actually, no, I'm not. Maybe that's coming from that altered mood that my father had because of his drinking. And I begin to put things into perspective. Now, oftentimes I do need to go through a grieving process because I didn't get what I needed. And that's very sad. I lost my childhood. I had to be the adult. And that's sad. It has affected my whole life. And yet at the same time, I am learning to be gentle with myself. I'm noticing the negative self-talk, and I'm telling myself to stop, and I am giving myself positive self-talk. I'm giving myself permission to love and respect myself. I am learning that my parents are not the authority of who I am, that I am the authority of who I am, because I'm with myself all the time. I begin to say, you know what? I know that I never was able to follow a project through from beginning to end, but I'm going to learn how to do it. I'm going to learn how to be uncomfortable and stick to it. I'm going to recognize that I have strengths. I'm going to give myself challenges. I'm going to look at people in the eye when I walk down the street. I'm going to go up and introduce myself to someone at a meeting that I've never been able to do before. I'm usually hiding in the corner. I'm going to learn how to make healthier decisions and become a responder, not a reactor. I'm going to journal and get to know myself. I'm going to heal from my hurt. I'm going to allow myself to be the person that God made me to be and that God wanted me to be, without all of the burdens from my childhood and all those messages that kept me down. I'm going to start choosing healthy people in my life. I'm going to start noticing, what is a healthy person? I'm going to do a little research. What does it mean to be a healthy adult? Because I sure don't know. Wasn't my experience. Everybody in my family was, you know, heck, you know, you have a wedding and, oh, the police are always, isn't that what happens at weddings? Police are always called and there's always a brawl and there's always people drunk and throwing up. Isn't that what happens at weddings? Wow, that was a great time, wasn't it? Wait a minute, that's dysfunctional, isn't it? And so I begin to make different choices. I didn't even know I had the ability to make choices. It is not an easy process to unlearn, to relearn, to let go of the old messages and develop good, healthy messages, to start that process of self-care, to recognize your boundaries, your limits, to learn how to say no, to stop rescuing and stop reacting, to start living life in a healthy way, and to recognize that though I grew up in a situation that was dysfunctional and painful and hurtful and detrimental to my well-being, it's not because that's something that my parents wanted for me. It's just something that happened. That I don't have to be imprisoned by my childhood any longer. And that I can recover that part of me that is curious and loving and hopeful and respectful to myself. That I have released the burden of unexpressed grief and moved on. So often when I have someone that talks about their childhood and they do it through their tears or their anger, that's part of that process of healing. When we can get to a place where we can talk about a particular event that happened, as it's just something that happened to me in my life, but there's no longer, I mean, there's a difference. There's a difference between someone sharing something that happened, you know, my father beat me until I was bloody, and I just kind of share it in a monotone way that tells me that chances are there's a lot of feelings underneath. But if I share it in a way where I'm in touch with my emotion, but I'm not overpowered by it. So I'm not sitting there telling you the story through my tears and anger. That also means that I've healed. I'm not going to forget what happened to me as a child, but I actually end up forgiving my parents and move on. And even begin to say, you know what, I appreciate the fact that I grew up in that kind of dysfunction because I realize that I can tolerate quite a bit and I now know who I am and I'm glad of it. So, I am Ruth Altamura Roll, licensed professional counselor. If you want to find out more information about who I am, please visit me on the web, www.altarollcounselor.net. That's Altarole, two L's, counselor, O-R.net. And you can also call me at 908-581-2277, 908-581-2277, and you can, and I just gave you my cell phone, but that's all right. Leave a message, let me know what you think about the show. Visit me on Facebook at Ruth Altamura Roll, MANCCLPC.